All right, Ryan Burrow is an ABC News correspondent and also works here at WGN Radio. And there's a story that I cannot stop thinking about. And why don't you give us the information?
Yeah, it's been exactly 2 weeks since the
parents... It seems longer, doesn't it?
It does. Since the parents of Jamie Kloss were found dead in their Barron County, Wisconsin home. That's about 80 miles northeast of Minneapolis, kind of western Wisconsin. Not too far north, but it's still a hike from here. And she was, of course, missing. They found the two parents shot to death. The family dog was still in the home at the time. There was a 911 call placed with a lot of commotion going around, is what investigators say. And they do believe at the time that the parents were killed, Jamie was there. Now, the extent of why she was there, what she was doing there, how they know that, we don't exactly know. We're just told there was a lot of commotion going on.
And the 911 call that went in, no one spoke on, right? It was operators heard background
exactly.
noise.
Exactly. And they tried to get someone to communicate, and there was nothing, just a lot of commotion. Police arrived within 4 minutes of that 911 call. So it's not as though, you know, they were slow to respond, even though this is kind of a rural area with about 3,000 people. They were pretty quick to respond. And the one thing that they noticed, well, actually two things. First of all, the gun that was used was gone. It's not as though there was a gun laying there at all, which, you know, seems to indicate at least what they projected to us is murder-suicide situation. Maybe not, because...
No gun there.
Yeah. You know, the person who committed suicide obviously would still have the gun by their side. Number two, the door to get into the home seemed to have been kicked open. So that leads them to believe, obviously, that someone came into that home, either unannounced or loudly announced, and obviously killed the two parents. And then what happened to Jamie at that point? So now is where it gets a little weird, right? Where is Jamie? What happened to Jamie? 13 years old. We don't obviously know much about her. Her family says very shy, quiet, really sweet girl. We don't know. We don't know what the family history was. We know that both parents worked at the Genio brand turkey warehouse in town. Genio has kicked in $25,000 for this reward.
It's up to 50, isn't it?
50 now, yeah. So they've got done $25,000, and then law enforcement also kicking in another $25,000. It actually took them a while to put that in, and that kind of surprised me. Usually they get the rewards going quick, but they've already got 19,000 tips. They've cleared, 1,900 tips. They've cleared 1,700 of those to this point. They're hoping someone out there sees something or there's some clue that's going to break this case open.
Right. Go back to the 911 call. Can they determine if the call was made from her cell phone or from one of the parents' cell phones, or was it a house phone?
It
was fingerprints?
Denise, the mother, Denise's cell phone. Yeah. We don't know who placed that call, but it does appear that it was pinged somewhere inside of that home. Now, the thing is, you can look at a lot of, I mean, it's very hard to get away with something here, as we found with the bombing suspect in Florida, right? You can't just do something and not leave behind DNA. So, you know, they've got officers and investigators working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on this. But to this point, they haven't let us know about any tips or any leads that have led them to any particular locations. They've done two searches, including one ground search that included 2,000 volunteers, and they came up with nothing. We don't know what brought them there. Police in these situations do tend to be a little quiet. Because what happens is, if they give us this information, we will echo it out, and all of a sudden now you get all these flooded tips coming in, basically rehashing things that people heard. As opposed
to, or if
to
someone
something
has her and hears a news report, you know.
Don't want to tip people off. You know, as to maybe they are tracking someone. Maybe there is a cell phone under surveillance or a person under surveillance. And the media, if they come and tell the media, hey, we've got someone under surveillance, well, that tip that person off, and then maybe they're going to go do something stupid, right?
When the murders first took place, and it's been 2 weeks, you pointed that out, they were quick to say that they were checking her, the daughter's online presence,
yes.
You know, to see exactly who she was associating with through social media. They've backed off on that a little bit. Is there a reason?
No, they are being very, very close, you know, keeping very close what the investigation is to this point. We saw this happen in Molly Tibbetts' case, too, where you knew that they've got information. I mean, they've interviewed all the relatives. They've gone through all the social media accounts. You know, they know a lot that we don't know, but they're not willing to give us that information. So, I mean, even when they found the parents dead, Bill, they did not tell us for 3 days that they were shot to death. I mean, you think that that would be something that that would be easy,
out.
You know, it's like, well, how did they die? You know,
they weren't even releasing.
They weren't even releasing. Exactly. Until the full autopsies. And I understand you got to go through a process, but it's like, come on, you know, I mean, that's how, you know, tight lipped they are on this case.
They were also quick to announce that the daughter, was not a suspect. But is she a suspect?
You know, I think that they are considering all options at this point. But right now, the way that they are projecting themselves is this is a 13-year-old that's missing. She has been abducted. She could be in someone's possession. We've seen that happen in situations before, right? Where women are taken or children are taken and kept in basements or sheds or somewhere.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's kind of weird, but which outcome would you rather have? You know, you obviously would still like to have her alive, but you don't want her to be tortured or anything like that. You know, enough. Obviously, there are concerns that maybe she's no longer alive, or maybe she in some way had something to do with all of this. We just don't know.
And if they didn't announce that it was a shooting, then in my opinion, they feel, wouldn't the whole area need to know, beware, there's a killer on the loose? So the fact that they didn't announce it, maybe they know more than they're letting on.
And part of what it is, well, they're telling the community, they think the community's safe right now. They don't think they have anything
they
to worry
that's
about.
Good.
Yeah. Well, but in a situation like that, where you're fielding tips, if the person on the other line knows something that they have not released yet, that all of a sudden makes that person very important. So maybe the reason that they don't tell you the person was shot is because, you know, there's that little bit. I mean, I think a lot of people could assume that two people dead in a home had been shot to death, but you just don't know. So if someone calls in with a tip, oh, yeah, these people were shot in the head, or these people were tied to a chair and shot.
That's why they don't release
exactly.
it.
Well, wait a minute. This person knows something that we have not previously set out there. So, yeah.
They held off on the service for quite a while after the two people were murdered. Was that in hopes that she would materialize between now and whenever the service was?
I think they're logistically working an investigation and also trying to properly bury and remember the two was hard to do. Because they did it on this weekend, they were able to, a lot of their coworkers were able to go, and that's what we heard a lot from, post-funeral was people just, you know, they all talked about how wonderful this couple was. I mean, we're not hearing stories about, you know, former domestic abuse or the police being at their house a lot or drug problems
or anything.
Now, that's not to say, you know, police aren't searching all of these options. You know, there's always the potential that maybe a house was mistaken for. Maybe there was some kind of debt. Maybe there was some, you know, something going on. We just don't have that information yet.
Ryan, this is a small town in Wisconsin that probably isn't used to dealing with stories like this. Do they go outside for help right away, or do they try to solve it on their own?
The FBI is very much involved in this. The Wisconsin State Police are very much involved in this as well. So they've got all resources going to this. It's not just a, you know, limited Barron County. I mean, they literally have 200 people working all times of the day just specifically on this case.
I hate unsolved crimes. I'm still thinking about JonBenet Ramsey. This one made me think of her as well. I need answers.
It's a lot, like I let off with, it's a lot harder nowadays to pull a crime like this off too, with DNA evidence, with all these surveillance cameras, you know, that are around too. That's what broke the Molly Tibbetts case open, was surveillance footage of a car, of Molly jogging and this car trailing behind her. And then they were able to zoom in and find out what that car was, and now you've got an arrest. So you hope that someone maybe has a home surveillance video or on the side of a business, something that's going to break this case open, that's going to point police to a certain location. They've got those two cars that they brought up that they think were in the location that morning the shooting happened, but we haven't really heard much since those two cars were revealed.
And the dog being alive, I know people are going to laugh. I don't mean this to be funny. That, to me, means something, because if someone's in there to take out people,
it would seem like the dog would take out the dog too.
So
probably barking or at least
causing
anxious
a scene.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's curious.
Yep, it is. Ryan, thanks for your help in this.
Take care.
That's Ryan Burrow. We'll take a quick break and then get you some news. It's Bill Left and Wendy Snyder on WGN.